The work week is here. Let's begin with your Monday market preview with Jeff Sherman and Dave Spano. Working for it all, but it's money, money. It's
money, money. It's money, money. Welcome back to The Upswing, joined, as always, on Mondays by Dave Spano, CEO of Annex Wealth Management. Dave, happy Monday.
Thanks for having me. Beautiful day.
Of course, of course. So do you watch Shark Tank?
I do.
Yeah?
I do. I think it's fun.
Yeah, it really is. I mean, the new season debuted this last Friday. Mark Cuban obviously was in Wisconsin last week for campaign stops with the vice president, and even though he's stepping down from Shark Tank after this season, it's his baby. And I think it's really helped, I don't know, from a success, an opportunity, a failure standpoint, it's helped push financial education forward. You know, kids and families love the show, and they've really taken to it. But over the weekend, New York Times had an analysis of the show through the years and kind of how the economy has changed. So I wanted to get your insights, Dave, as you look at the economy over the last 15 years, kind of through an entrepreneurial lens, what has changed?
Well, there's so much that has changed. You think about when that show started. We just think about the last 15 years. You know, 2009 was 15 years ago. That was coming right out of the great financial crisis. I mean, the global financial crisis. It was a debacle. I remember going to the studio at TMJ on Saturday mornings and doing the show, and every Saturday morning we'd have to announce which one of these banks had failed on a Saturday morning because they would close them on Friday night. It was not fun. You had this cascading failure of financial institutions, and so that has changed, right? And so you now have business applications starting to increase as we get into 2015 and 2016, and then of course we had COVID, and then there was a spike in job opportunities, and I think that's what you get. You're trying to tie it to what's happening with Shark Tank. Is there's a lot of job applications. I'm sorry, a lot of business applications starting to come out. But look at the numbers over the last 15 years. You think about, you know, what's happening with GDP. I mean, almost the last three presidents now have had positive GDP. And so that's really a good thing. Employment is up. You know, the prices are up substantially. Obviously, that's not a good thing.
Right.
But the stock market, are you ready for this? Up 600% over the last 15 years if you include dividends. So a lot of really good things have happened in the economy despite a major downturn of the global financial crisis and, of course, COVID in 2020.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, that the show in its own way has helped highlight those successes, but also showing, like, hey, in life, to make money, you got to work hard and you got to believe in yourself. But at the same time, even after you may get the win on Shark Tank, the reality is, and this was really interesting in the story, that only 50% of those deals that are done on the show actually turn to reality after all the negotiation and due diligence.
Yeah, there's some show, but you just nailed it. So you think about that. That's exactly right. When you try to do a deal, you know, and we've done them, we've been involved with them, and somebody wants to sell their company or a portion of their company, you have to make sure you're aligned.
Mm-hmm.
And so you have these conversations, and you learn about their families and their kids and their three-legged dog Willie, and you've got to learn all about the folks and make sure you're aligned. And so even though you see some of the stuff on Shark Tank, and it's good television,
yeah,
the important part of buying and funding and growing the business really comes down to that due diligence and analysis and making sure you have synergies and alignment. I mean, that's really the deal. But I think it's good. I think it shows people, you know, how to make an elevator pitch on television to some high-powered people. You know, you see, by the way, speaking of high-powered, you see Cuban, you know, he sold his interests in the Mavs,
yeah,
billions of dollars, right?
Yeah.
And I was interested to see that, you know, he's mid-60s. He's older than he looks.
Yeah, yeah.
But he's certainly been a success story.
Yeah, he has a very youthful spirit to him, but he's older than he looks for sure. And an interesting thing about Friday, too, there was a Milwaukee connection. One of the,
right,
there was a graduate from Divine Savior Holy Angels who's now based in Miami, but one of her companies, Little Saints, they sell kind of an NA cocktail, a sophisticated sugar-free alcohol RTD cocktail powered by mushrooms. Didn't get the deal done, but got a lot of publicity and exposure off the show for sure.
And there's been others. I mean, there was some kids from Marquette High School years ago, the Fox family, and what they did is they made a life preserver that you would yank on and it would inflate. So there's been Milwaukee connections before, but it's good to see. And really what's cool about it, and I've been involved with some of these things, is colleges and high schools have these Shark Tank themed classes.
Yeah.
And so you can discuss entrepreneurship and know you've got to put a business plan together and put some economics together. So I think it's good all the way around.
All right, very good. When we come back, the election, obviously only 3 weeks away. So we're going to talk
2 weeks
away. Yes, wow.
Yeah.
So we'll talk a little bit about what certain industry sectors and even certain companies might benefit from either administration. This is The Upswing, and you're listening to WTMJ. Welcome back to The Upswing. I'm Jeff Sherman, joined by Dave Spano, CEO of Annex Wealth Management. Dave, there are, you know, without a doubt, certain industry sectors and even specific companies that stand to benefit from either administration, depending on the outcome of the election. What are your thoughts there? And then is there an industry that, regardless of who wins, wins?
Yeah, that's really good. You know, just 2 weeks away from the election, and you know, as we had said, the market rallies during presidential elections, and true to form, you know, up 24% year to date. But what's really interesting is when you open up the hood and start seeing what's doing well and what aren't doing well. I mean, the difference between these two politicians is you know, dramatic. And so you start to say what's going to do well or what isn't going to do well. So let's just talk about energy, for example.
Mm-hmm.
You think about the stances on green energy versus traditional energy, for example. You think about, for example, healthcare. You know, Harris likes to push more for universal coverage and regulation, where Trump is probably, you know, hasn't had a concept of a plan, but
right.
He's disclosed that technology, you know, both are going to do well, but there's no question that that the con at the FTC is going to be supported far more by Harris than by Trump. Industrials, consumer discretionary, both will act differently, and they are acting differently right now, Jeff.
Mm-hmm.
If you look at them, and you know, if you're on the red team, your stocks are starting to rally here, and if you're on the blue team, they're starting not to act so well, as we're just 2 weeks out. So you know, obviously, we need to watch that very closely. But your question of what does well,
yeah.
I think infrastructure will do well either way.
Yeah.
And I meant to say this to you too. What's surprising to me is I saw the defense stocks starting to come back. Usually, if the Republicans are winning, the defense companies are doing better. Over the last year, defense companies are doing better when the Democrats. So there's such a change of flip-flop and so many issues. But to answer your question, I think infrastructure would do well no matter what.
Yeah, and obviously part of AI. Yeah, of
and
course.
AI,
yeah,
right.
Both power the economy forward. But obviously part of infrastructure is also the home building sector. And I think both Harris and Trump have talked a lot about increasing the number of new homes and different incentives for first-time home buyers. So I think that's one segment to keep an eye on that everyone can rally around no matter what. So
yeah,
let's put Dave Spano on the board of CVS. What's your advice?
Does Dave Spano have to be on the board of CVS?
Well, you don't have to be, but you know, let's just say. So what's your advice for the future? You look at what's happening at Walgreens and CVS and the new CEO at CVS is saying to workers there, hey, let's really look for creative solutions to our problems.
Yeah.
How do you see CVS evolving in the future?
Well, I think you know what they did is they got into a lot of companies, and so in a lot of businesses, they bought a lot of them. They got in the insurance business and everything else. If I was on that board, I would maybe silo some of these businesses, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the ones that are not helping out our companies, our CVS company, and being complementary to it, I'd get rid of those companies if I was on the board. So I would go through and say, you know, what are they? Are they helping us? Are they hurting us? What's doing well? What isn't doing well? And try to silo these things. And sometimes we've seen this before. Companies get over their skis. They think they can do, you know, they were really good at some business and they start buying other businesses. And then, of course, the other business either drags them down, right? So that's what I would do. I would go through business by business, think about, you know, what they did and are they maintaining a position as a healthcare company or as you know, a distribution of drug companies. Let's look at that and see what's working and what isn't working.
Yeah, that's good. You know, stay true to kind of what got you there. The new CEO took over last week on Thursday, sent an internal memo to the entire team saying, here's where I need your help. It's no secret that our industry faces significant and dynamic challenges and that CVS Health must make financial and operational improvements to drive elite execution and maintain our position as a leading healthcare company. And that's what you do.
In healthcare company, but you think about, you know, they purchased Aetna, major health insurer, in 2018. They bought, you know, that Minute Clinics. So there's a lot of stuff that isn't working for them that I would reexamine, and stuff that's not working probably should be jettisoned.
Yeah. All right. So what's on the docket this week in terms of numbers and releases? A lot of earnings releases.
You got it right. Yeah. So there's two things. The economic reports is going to be the beige book, and that is, you know, Powell used that beige book because it was a bit dour last time to justify a 50 basis point cut. I don't know that they're going to do that again. It's, you know, highly likely it's 25 basis points. But so that's one economic report. But more importantly, a big week for earnings. You know, tomorrow we get General Motors and Kimberly-Clark and GE and Pulte Homes. Of course, you talked about home builders. They're a big home builder.
Yeah.
And then the week ends with UPS and on Friday, Amazon. And of course, the tech stocks have done so well. We'll see what Amazon does. And the AI trade is still going to work. But here we go. Just two weeks to go. And everybody remember that it was 0.4% that determined the vote of all the votes cast in the United States. So your vote matters.
No matter what, get out and vote for sure. Dave, I always appreciate your time on Mondays. Enjoy the rest of the week, and we'll talk again next Monday.
It sounds good. Thank you.
All right. Thanks, Dave.